If you would, just turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Many have heard this story, and I'm just going to read two verses. I'm sure you're familiar with Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. If you would, just stand for the reverence of the Word of God, and I'll read verse 1, and then if you would just join me on verse 2. The Word of God says, "And it came to pass after this things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." And let's read it all together, church. "And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." The title of my message is "When Faith Moves You, Church," and I hope to be a blessing to you, and may God use me to learn something today. It's a blessing to take the gospel to Mexico. It's a blessing to take the gospel to specifically the city of Juchitán and the state of Oaxaca. And it's hard to do it, to do this, if you don't have faith. And we read in the book of Genesis chapter 22, we read of this commandment to Abraham from God. And it says, "And he said, Take now thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah." You know, this commandment here, this command, church, to me, it doesn't contain many words. It doesn't require so much explanation. You're going to have to do this. He said, "Now take now thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering." You know, it's just very simple. Offer him there for a burnt offering. It doesn't require many words, but it sure has a great commandment, a great command of offering your only son on a mountain, a burnt offering. And you know, church, I started thinking, what led Abraham to do this? And also, we never read of Abraham saying, "Lord, I waited for so long. I waited for to have a boy. I waited to have a son. And now you're asking it from me. Lord, what a terrible God you are. Or Lord, I've been patient enough, but you've decided to take him now. I'm not going to serve you anymore." Do we ever hear Abraham say that? We never do. We only hear Abraham going forward with that monumental task of offering his son, his only son. And not his only son, church, but the one whom thou lovest. Right? His only one, and the one whom thou lovest. The one who has been waiting for so long. That's the one. Could you think of waiting your whole life, one boy, and then being patient enough? No excuse, not going to God and complaining about it, but rather being patient enough that when you get that boy, God asks for him to offer him for a burnt offering. How would you react, church? And what's great about what Abraham is that he went on to do that. No excuses. He didn't argue with God. He went ahead. We read in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, where the Lord tells him, "Now the Lord said unto Abraham, And get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation." You know what we read here in this couple of verses is that Abraham had already practiced just obeying God. You know, I think inside of me, you know what? He was already used to obeying God. So when that big commandment took place of him offering his son, he was not just ready, but he was accustomed to obeying God. Not that it was easy, but he knew that God knew best. He knew that obeying God and get thee out of thy country. And through that time that he had obeyed God, God took care of him. That whole journey, church, God took care of Abraham, and he said, "I don't know what this mountain, what me going into this mountain and offering my only boy is going to come, what is going to turn out to be, but I've trusted God back there. I'm sure I can trust him there." So he had a great faith that moved him and moved them to obey God. How is your faith, church? Are you accustomed to obeying God? Are you accustomed to just every day, maybe God tells you, hey, I need you to do this. I need you to do the other. I need you to read your Bible. I need you to pray. I need you to fast for me. I need you to I need you to share the gospel. Do we do that? Do we have that faith to move us? Do we have that faith to trust Him? Or when trials come and tough times comes, we take our trust from God. How is your trust today with God, church? How is your faith with God? I believe a good faith should move us to do great things. And as a Baptist, I started thinking, right? I have to get 3-pointers. I have to get 3-pointers as a good Baptist. Well, I wrote down three things that would help us, but I will just mention 2 of them. One of them is if your faith is in good health, which I believe that if you have a good health, church, it should move you. It should move you to obey God. But if your faith is in good health, church, I believe it should move you to give up or lead you to give up anything for Him if He asks for it. The Word of God tells us in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. You know, church, we have this young man who had great possessions, who Jesus asked him to take up his cross and follow him. And you know what's sad is he didn't do it. It was not just Jesus, but it was God in flesh asking this young man to take up his cross and follow him. It wasn't Donald Trump. We like Donald Trump, right? He's got good stance on politics. We like, maybe you say you like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos that has so much money, Carlos Slim, and he's from Mexico and he's a millionaire, and Mark Zuckerberg. It wasn't none of this people asking him to take up the cross. It was the same God that was standing right there in front of him. And it was that God who parted the Red Sea. It was that God who brought down the walls of Jericho. It was that God who has done miracles throughout time. That's the one that was standing right in front of him and telling him to take up the cross and follow him. You know, I would have thought, young man, look, this is God, Jesus, telling you to give up anything. He's going to take care of you how he has taken care of all the prophets back in time. He's going to take care of you. Just take up that cross and follow him. But you know what? It's sad that we have God asking us the same thing. Hey, take up my cross and follow me. And we don't do that, church. May it not be you who refuse that cross to follow him. Maybe God is asking you to surrender today. I don't know, for the mission field. I don't know, for to be a pastor. I don't know, church. But there's something that God is asking for you today, to surrender to him. It's great that somebody was called, and through that ministry, Brother Harrison was reached. It's great that our pastor, Pastor Jeff Huguet, had a vision to start a Spanish ministry, and through that ministry, my parents were reached, and through my parents, I was reached. It's great that somebody surrendered, and through that, Pastor Combs was reached. Church, what is God asking you today? To take up his cross and follow him. Maybe God is not asking you to surrender his life to him, but maybe God is just asking you to surrender that which is taken him or you away from him. Maybe your phone, young teenagers. Maybe it's your phone. It's Facebook. It's Instagram. It's TikTok. You know, we have nowadays that technology which has destroyed this generation. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all of that has destroyed this generation. I don't know how the generation before us did it. But they didn't have Instagram. They didn't have TikTok. And they were happy as they can be. I remember when I was in Mexico, the place where I was born is Oaxaca. And I was born in a city called Puerto Escondido. And what we would play is, you ready to hear this? With dirt. We would play with trees. We would play with just whatever you did. We would grab sticks and use them as guns. And would grab rubber bands and would fold a little piece of metal and just hit each other with it. And we'd play marbles. That's what we did. Well, you, young teenagers, you don't need that. Maybe God is asking you to surrender your phone to Him. And maybe get a flip phone. Maybe that's what we need. Maybe even church, that's what we need. As adults, that's maybe what we need. We won't ever be called or expect from God to do great things with us if we're out there just on the phone all day. Or if we're out there just thinking about work and thinking about how to do a lot, make a lot of money in this life. God won't ever call you in that during having those thoughts in mind. You'd have to surrender those. If you have a great faith, church, it will lead you to give up anything. And that's maybe your hobbies that is taking you away from church. Maybe it's that time that is taking you away from going and sharing the gospel. We must share the gospel. Maybe it's that time taking you away from your walk with God. I don't know what it is, church. Maybe there's something today that is pulling you away from God. What is that? If you have a great faith, it would lead you to give up anything for Him. That young man, if he had his eyes on the right place, it would have led him to give up his flesh and take up the cross and follow God, follow Jesus. Third of all, church, I want to say, if your faith is in good health, It will move us in the future to die for Him if He asks for it. I have a quick story here and I'll be done with this. The story tells that 200 years ago, a revival took place in Wales, England. And as a result of that, missionaries were called to the mission field in North India. And this place in the North India church was a place described as savage. And it was this specific group that they were called to, where what they did with their enemies was cut their heads off and put it in their walls and put it at the entrance of their villages. It was to this tribes that these missionaries were called, and they went ahead and started sharing the gospel with these tribes and these villages in North India. And the story tells us that they were able to reach this one family. This one family, the dad, the mom, and their two boys. And the story tells us that this family were so in love with Jesus that they started telling others about the love of God and how He came to die for them and how There's an eternal gift for them. So they started sharing that news to everyone in their village. And the story tells us that the tribal chief got a wind of the story, and he said, "I don't like this. This needs to stop. That's not what should be shared here. We don't believe in that. This needs to stop. Tomorrow morning we're gonna have a meeting." And so they gather everyone in that village, and they, sure enough, they had a meeting, and they brought the family and they put them in the middle, and they said, the tribal chief said, "I've heard of what you've been doing. You've been sharing about this so-called Jesus, and that needs to stop right now, because this Jesus doesn't belong here." And so the dad just looked at the tribal chief, and as he stared at the tribal chief, the tribal chief said, you know what? I'll do this, he said. If you don't renounce Jesus Christ as your Savior, something terrible is going to happen to you. And the story tells us that the man, obviously, who knew about Jesus and knew that he couldn't renounce Jesus Christ in front of men, looked up at heaven and started singing this hymn that you guys might know. The church, you might know this hymn, and maybe some of you know already the story behind this hymn. But he started singing, I have decided to follow Jesus. And he started singing this song. And the tribal chief got really mad and he said, you know what? I don't like this. I don't like that you're standing up against me. Kill his two boys. And so what they did is grab the bow and arrows and they struck their boys. And you know, you could imagine that right now, how the boys are now laying on the ground, and you think about it, the bow and arrow, the arrows don't kill you right away. So he's looking at his boys just suffering and in agony, and maybe asking dad to help him. And as that was going on, the tribal chief turned around and he said, you know what? If you don't want that to happen, you renounce Jesus Christ. Or if not, the same situation will follow for your wife. And the man obviously just looked up at heaven, and the story tells us that he started singing the next couple of sentences of those words. Though none go with me, still I will follow. And with that, the story tells us that the mom was also struck with an arrow. And you know, that's sad for me to even comprehend if I have to go through that with my family. I'm sure nobody would love to go through that with their family. But this family right here, just now in pain, and the tribal chief looks at the dad, he says, you know what? Now it's your turn. I'm sure now it's going to be rough for you. So you better renounce Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now it's not your two boys. It's not your wife. It's going to be you. And he looked up at heaven and started singing. The cross before me, the world behind me. And with that, the story tells us that they struck the dad and joined his family with pain. And you know, it's sad to think that that's what happened to this family. But the story doesn't end there. Maybe their lives, their earthly lives ended, but the story didn't end there. The story tells us that this family didn't die just in vain. The tribal chief goes back to his home, his little hut, and the story tells us that he begins meditating. What led this man to die for this Jesus? If it was my religion, I would have rejected Christ. I would have rejected him, and I would have said, no, you know what? I'll renounce him right now, but there must be something real in this Jesus. Nobody dies for something that's not real. And then that story tells us that the tribe of Jesus accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And then the whole tribe began accepting Jesus Christ as their saviors. Just because this family, church, decided to stand up for Christ. Church, I don't know. I not too long ago, I remember reading the news, and there was a news, and I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to make you aware of what's going on. Here in Texas, I don't know what part of Texas, but they're trying to start a city called Epic City. And this Epic City, church, it's going to be run by Sharia law. We don't want this here. And in the Florida, there was one of those, I guess they call them rabbis, whatever their names is, the one who stands up and teaches them. He starts recalling the history a little bit of where he was at. He said a long time ago, the white people came and tried to share their God, their religion to us, and they almost had success, he said. But now it's our turn to return them the favor. Here in Florida, he said, we have bought three churches and turned them into mosques. Church, we don't want, God willing, he doesn't let us get to the point of being ruled by a Muslim, per se, a Muslim religion. But if we don't want to get to that point, we must die for Christ. Maybe with our flesh, right? We should go out soul winning. But hey, if God leads us to die for him, we should be ready to. But if you don't want to get to that point, we better get ready and get moving. And share the gospel with your friends. With this town church. Everywhere you go, share the gospel. You don't know who you're sharing the gospel. The next man, the person you who you could share the gospel to could stir up a revival. Who could do something great for God. There's Brother Harrison. I loved it. He just came and told me a little bit of his testimony. I loved his testimony. Who's going to reach him? Have we died to the flesh enough that would lead us to just go out there and share the gospel? If your faith is in good health, it will lead you to die for him. Well, maybe God is not asking you to die for him tonight. Maybe just God is asking you to die to your flesh. And to go out there and share the gospel. To go out there and give up anything for him. Whatever he asks for. Maybe your phone, I already mentioned, I don't want to go over it again. But what is God asking you? To take up his cross and follow him? Maybe we should do that tonight, church. Young teenager, God is asking you to surrender your life for him. Do it. Do it. Do that. He's going to take care of you just like he's taken care of us and characters in the Bible. May God bless your church, and may we strive to live more for God and serve him even stronger and better than we have before.